Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the super fans.
But they are who we thought they were.
Hello and welcome to this Matt's edition of the Next Fan Up podcast. I am Pod Vader. My name is not Matt, but I do have two Matts that will be joining me here in just a little bit. Matt Williamson of many, many different podcasts. And of course, you know him as the former scout of the Cleveland Browns, who now talks about football constantly online. And Matt Chatham. He is the former New England Patriot, New York Jet player who now has footballbyfootball.com and also chats about football online. They'll be joining me here in just a few minutes. They had a great podcast during the preseason when we were talking about the greatest running backs ever in the history of football. And that battle between the two Matts seemed to work out pretty well. Not to mention, hey, a player and a scout and a fan all together on one podcast. Where have I heard that before? In any case, they're going to be joining us here in just a few minutes. I wanted to take a quick moment before we get into that interview just to let you know, as the new year begins and we get all of our playoff podcasts here set for you, we'll have recaps for you available every Monday. We've got the previews from the super fans. Those will be coming to you on every Thursday. And hopefully every Monday, I'm going to have the two Matts here with me in the middle of the week to sort of get you ready for the next week's upcoming playoff schedule. If I don't talk to them both together, then I'll probably talk to at least one of them, if not both of them, just separately. You know, scheduling three people is a difficult thing to do. But to make sure you don't miss any of these podcasts, we want to tell you how you can get this show. And the easiest place is iTunes. Just go to iTunes, subscribe to the Next Fan Up podcast. And when you're there, you can leave us a review, share it with a friend. But by leaving that review, it helps the podcast out, helps more people discover our show, which ultimately will help bring you more great content like we're presenting to you today. You can also subscribe to the show on Stitcher, which is an app that is readily available on Android devices. So if you don't have an iPhone, you have an Android phone, well, you can go and use the Stitcher app. You can also use the AHA radio app if you have that type of phone, or the TuneIn radio app. And here's something even cooler, as I discovered this Christmas. You know, my son, Zach, the great quarterback-to-be, he got himself one of those Amazon Echo Dots. And if you have one of those, I suggest you let Alexa know that you shouldn't be listening right now, because I'm going to tell you something pretty cool. If you ask Alexa, say, Alexa, play the Next Fan Up podcast, she's going to play it for you because she's getting that podcast directly from TuneIn. She'll play the latest episode. So all you need to do is say, Alexa, play the Next Fan Up podcast, and she's going to play it for you. And maybe she just did, depending on how you're listening to the show. Of course, if you're listening to the show on a Echo already, then I'm not sure if she's going to restart the show or not. I apologize now as I look back at this, perhaps a little foolhardy on my part. But if you have one of those devices, and I know a lot of people got them for Christmas, a cool way to listen to the podcast for sure. And our podcast is, of course, family friendly, and we'll keep it family friendly until you tell us not to. We'll share about how you can tell us what you think about the show and some of your thoughts on the upcoming playoffs after our interview. Let's bring in Matt Chatham and Matt Williamson. All right, the Battle of the Matts, not currently being sponsored, but if you'd like to sponsor it, we're all willing, all three of us are willing to take a share of sponsorship dollars as the postseason begins. I am happy to bring in the two Matts. I will start with Matt Chatham of Football by Football. Hello, Matt Chatham.
What up, Jay? Good to be on.
Awesome. And then, of course, our other Matt is Matt Williamson. He of 9 million podcasts. I don't know which one to single out here for you, Matt.
Yeah, there's quite a few. the Locked On NFL one I've been doing every day. Growing very, very rapidly. Things are well with me. Matt, it's great to talk to you again. Pod, not as much. How's life?
Nice. I see we're going to start off on a fantastic foot. But really, the foot that I want to start with as the as the playoffs begin is which game this weekend is really worth our while in paying attention to? Because to me, both conferences seem rather set, and the teams that we should be focusing on aren't going to be playing this weekend. I will start with you, M-Dub, because you might disagree with me.
Well, AFC slate is garbage. I mean, I don't know that you can really get around that. It's bad. Maybe Miami could upset Pittsburgh, but in Pittsburgh, as well as the Steelers are playing, I don't see it. And that Texans-Raiders game, I mean, is as miserable as it gets. I mean, those guys really, you know, shouldn't be in the playoffs. The NFC to me is appealing, though, and I do think those guys can challenge, you know. And the AFC, I think there's three teams that have a chance to make noise. And things worked out very well for your Patriots that they get to host the winner of that garbage team. But the NFC to me is pretty appealing.
How about you, Matt Chatham? What are your thoughts here on this weekend's slate of games?
Yeah, I guess my eyeballs, you know, for working here locally, I think the greater interest will probably be in the Raiders Texans game, not for entertainment purposes, but for more that's your likely outcome. I think sort of as Matt alluded to there, I would presume that the Steelers should take care of the Dolphins. I guess if you're just simply looking ahead throughout the entire draw and how this thing plays out as we head to February, it will be somewhat interesting to watch a Steelers game. I think if the Dolphins play them close at all, it might confirm thoughts here that this isn't the Pittsburgh team of years past. But I think the greater issue just for the here and now would be what's going to come out of that Houston Raiders game. And it kind of interests me to this extent where, you know, McGloin got thrown in there, didn't do much of the opportunity, got banked up. Then it's sort of the Connor Cook show. And I thought it really surprised me how inept the offense became just in the absence of Carr. I mean, he certainly expected a step back. You know, the Patriots actually played the Steelers earlier this year in the absence, you know, in Landry Jones game as opposed to Roethlisberger. And I was surprised as sort of researching that game that Roethlisberger was good for about just south of 8 points a game when he was not there. And sort of historically, whether it was a Vic game or whoever it had been over the course of his career. So worth about 8 points. A little less, I think, surprisingly than I thought. I was expecting something north of 10. But I kind of looked at the Raiders offense a little bit that same way, where, you know, are they going to be worth, you know, 20 points less without just that guy? And just to see them fall off against a Denver defense that really the last few weeks had sort of, I don't know, packed it in. They just hadn't looked as steady and as dominant as we're used to seeing them. But that to me was surprising. So it'll be interesting to see if the Raiders can bounce back and, you know, cobble together 20 points somehow, some way. We're not talking about the 30 output, but just something that's reasonable, which I think was part of the narrative midseason that, hey, there's games where Derek didn't just blow it up and they've got sort of a Dallas Cowboys light kind of offensive line. They're able to run the ball with Latavius Murray and the back rotation. And there's so many different offensive targets that this isn't just Derek Carr. Man, last weekend, it looks like this is just Derek Carr. So maybe we'll learn something this weekend.
Since you brought up that Denver game, I mean, we as fans love the narrative. Oh, they, you know, the Broncos, they did it for their outgoing head coach. It's a great narrative. But is that really the case? Are the players really putting in that extra effort just because, you know, the news came out that he was going to step down?
I mean, I think you're always looking for sort of tidbits, something to help stay focused for a week. You know, it would have been real easy for them to pack it in, especially in light of the performances of two weeks prior to that. I think it also helps. And, you know, again, I'm often critical of the NFL and some of the dumb stuff they do with scheduling and Thursday night games and officials and on down the line, punishments, all that stuff. But I think the one pseudo smart thing that they've done is keeping these division games tight at the end of the year. And I think that's probably another morsel that keeps a guy sort of on point for a week where, you know, and I've been in these games where I think we played, who was it? Like the Browns in the final week when I was with the Jets and we were on a bad team, 5-11 year or 5-10, I guess, going to that game or whatever it was. And man, trying to drum up interest in that when you know both teams are garbage is very difficult to do. But I think as a player, the one thing that can help you is, you know, going against a bunch of dudes you're used to seeing that you may not like from a team that, you know, is in your division. That helps sort of, you know, pique my interest for another few hours here before I go home. So you're not just packing it in. Not that all guys do. You're still fighting for jobs on that last week. But I think it helped sort of reinvigorate the Broncos as much as the Kubiak thing.
M-Dub, since we're in the AFC and you sort of brought it up, is this really a three-horse race? And I mean, I don't want to sound like a complete homer, but to me, I think the AFC is done. I think the Patriots pretty much have this lock, stock, and barrel.
I think you're being a little presumptuous, as well as Kansas City and Pittsburgh are playing. I mean, I give the Patriots probably 66% chance of going to the Super Bowl, and I think it played out well for them. Like the people in Pittsburgh here were obviously rooting for the Raiders because they wanted Kansas City to go to New England, maybe knock off the Pats. Where now the Pats, it was, the three teams we're obviously talking about are Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and New England. The Pats are only going to have to play one of them. So, and they'll be favored in that game. And I don't think there's a snowball's chance in hell that, you know, Houston or the Raiders without Carr can go to New England and even be competitive in that game. So, yeah, I mean, if it's not a foregone conclusion. I can see Roethlisberger or the Chiefs going in there and winning, but certainly they're the favorite in the clubhouse. Things worked out well for them that they don't have to face the two big dogs. But Kansas City's good, man. I mean, I think you're selling those two teams too short.
Well, I don't want to sell them completely short, but, you know, Chatham, you mentioned that we had already played the Roethlisberger-less Steelers.
Right.
And I know that's M-Dub's team, so not to totally ignore you on your team, M-Dub. But the Kansas City Chiefs do look, to me, of the two teams to put up a fight against the Patriots, that would be the team that I'm most concerned with.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty fair though. The Chiefs, because of really two things for me, balance, so that you're going to get contributions and not negative play from really any of the three units. So it probably, I mean, those are usually when you fall into traps when you come to New England. And I've actually been a little bit surprised with some of the road splits from the Steelers this year. And I think that's in part why sort of, you know, maybe sub psychologically for me, I had kind of written them off a while ago and I knew they'd be in the tournament, but it's just not, I guess hold them in the same regard as I did in past seasons because of some of the road splits offensively and because of some of the struggles with the defense. Now, the defense has actually played much better in the last several weeks, which I think would give you hope. And, you know, the one thing, though, with offensive production is I just haven't seen like put 30 on them when they travel, which to me is what you generally would fear, you know. And I think you look back to the opening game a year ago when the Steelers did come to New England and it was a very good offensive performance on that day and the kind that would scare you, but it's just, I haven't seen a lot of those out of them as a road performer, so I kind of just look at them a little bit differently. I think with the Chiefs, though, sort of, you know, I circled my way back around to these guys. They, because they're so steady, they're more of the not going to beat themselves kind of team. And I think Ben has shown that this year back to the Steelers where he's, you know, had multiple pick games. I think the road can be harder for him in that regard. And you're not going to get that from Alex Smith. You're not going to get 400 yards. Just, you know, you're not going to get a bunch of touchdowns. You'll get red zone runs for touchdowns out of his own feet. You're probably not going to see a negative turnover differential from that team. So it makes you sort of be on point. So the Chiefs are probably that one not going to beat themselves team. And if you were going to hold them sort of in a mirror up to them relative to what they were a year ago when they came here and lost in the playoffs, the Tyreek Hill thing sort of changes it for them. They're not as plotting. They have the ability to sort of be a quick strike team, and that could come either in special teams play or offensively. The one thing, though, there is a curiosity as well, is they've had those games here down the stretch in the last month where Tyreek doesn't get touches. There was that one game where, I think a couple weeks ago, might have been the Denver game, whatever it was, where he had one touch for 20, a nice big play, and it was a huge touchdown, but then that's the only time they got the ball in his hand. So it makes you think that, you know, maybe that's an Andy Reid thing, or maybe that's just there's ways to scheme him away from a game plan and just keep him not involved and really swing it back your way. But yeah, I would definitely say that the Chiefs would probably be your biggest concern if you were just simply gambling or looking for balance where they could hit you in all three areas.
Pod, I want to piggyback off that real quick, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
You know, two things is, I think Matt said it really well, but it's a big mystery around here. The Steelers road home splits, and it really comes down to Big Ben. I mean, since the start of 2014, his numbers are drastically different on the road. It's not just this year, eight games, small sample size. It's three full seasons now, and nobody knows why, including myself. It's not like you can understand why Drew Brees is better at home than he is on the road, you know, but right. Big Ben, you know, he's a bad weather guy. He grew up in this neck of the woods in Ohio. It makes no sense, but it's a big enough sample that it can't be ignored. And then the last thing about the Chiefs, I think you said this really well, that they are really balanced. They're very steady. They're well coached. But they also have so much big playability now in all three phases.
Yeah, one thing real quick on that, Matt, too, that I guess if, again, trying to sort of take off my former player hat from this particular spot, and I'll just put on my wagerer helmet, you know, like if I'm looking at teams who I think would be most susceptible to the big play stuff, I'd look at teams with more aggressive schemes defensively. And to me, that's like Denver. Like Denver wants to get in your face. They think they're better than you. They'll down after down try to win. And I think those are the kind of teams that Kansas City takes advantage of, because that you're more susceptible to the big play if you challenge them. But New England, because they're so top down, because they're like, you know what? Get your yards. We will not give up a big play. We just, you know, and it frustrates people around here. They want to see a real clean box score, and they think that's more important. But I think there's a feeling here that, okay, you're not going to give up the big play. You might get some yards. We'll play better red zone defense. So I think if there was one sort of defensive philosophy that's better suited to, you know, cross your fingers and making sure that those kind of things don't become an issue, it's probably that approach. Doesn't mean it couldn't happen. It still could. You can still have a busted coverage from one play to a next, but there aren't going to be a lot of situations where, you know, you're seeing single safety and everyone across the board is pressed and Tyreek misses, you know, one missed tackle and he's gone 80 yards. It's just the kind of place that sort of stacks the back end to hope in prevention of that. So I guess if you were a Patriots fan, you'd feel a little less concerned that that could happen, but you know, anything can, I guess.
All right, so it all sounds like it's irrelevant who wins Raiders Texans, and we're not giving the Dolphins too much a chance against the Steelers. Also, wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins pull off an upset there, M-Dub.
Oh, I would be. I would be.
Fair enough. So,
although the Dolphins beat the crap out of them earlier in the year.
So on the NFC side of things, we've got the Lions at the who knows which Seattle Seahawks will show up this week, and the New York Giants at the Green Bay Packers. And I think that's the game they saved the best for last, as that's the late game on Sunday, is pretty much the only game really that we need to pay a lot of attention to, M-Dub.
Well, I am going to go through the motions and pay attention to all four.
Of course.
They are the playoffs pod. But I should have mentioned this earlier, too, that I don't give the Lions any chance in Seattle either. I don't like the way they're playing. I don't like their defense. Very little running game to hang their hat on. I love Stafford, and I think they're well coached. But I think that them and the Dolphins could kind of look at this year like, as an organization, we're making strides, but we're just happy to be here. But you're right. You kind of mentioned it, though. I can't quit the Seahawks. I still think they could win the whole thing. I love the organization. I love their makeup. But boy, they're so up and down lately. They're really hard to get behind. I mean, it wasn't long ago that I thought, man, these are still my team. They're going to blow up this last month, show everyone who they really are. And they just haven't.
And then and then those Giants, Matt Chatham, those pesky Giants are in the playoffs again. And those guys, you know, it's hard to go all in on the Giants, too.
Right. Well, the odd thing to me about the Giants is, yeah, and again, this is sort of resume comparing, and maybe that's not the wisest thing to do as you get to the playoffs, but at least you know that they're the one team out there that, you know, in a matchup situation anyway, maybe not a three-game, four-game run, but that they can match up well against the Cowboys. And they've done it. They sort of have their own sort of internal formula, how to slow the running game, avoid big plays as well, give Prescott some trouble. But I think the Giants, and this always sort of becomes to me sort of intriguing when you talk about playoffs, because it's less about, you know, who you think's the best team through 16. It's just through a three or four game tournament and how they land next to another organization. So I think the Packers is actually a pretty terrible matchup for them, and might prevent them from getting to go match up against the Cowboys. So the Cowboys probably have a nice catbird seat as well, as similar to, I think, what the Patriots do. And that, I think the chances of the Giants making it to them becomes that much more difficult, although they might be their biggest one-on-one challenge. The Packers' biggest issue, though, to me is, as good as they were down the stretch and they put together the run, all those secondary injuries last week. I mean, I think this is probably one of those weeks where, even, you know, DFS stuff or fantasy stuff aside, watching how they come out of the wash with a couple cornerbacks in a safety position that got dinged up in last week's game. Who comes out of the wash? Who's going to play this week? Because the Giants have had trouble scoring anyhow, right? I mean, that has been a pretty tepid offense relative to what I think you often think of with OBJ and Eli. But they've had struggles running the ball. They've had struggles finding that production from a third or fourth wide receiver. They've just been okay. And okay isn't generally enough in the playoffs unless you're getting sort of Denver defense level performances or old Giants level performances. So I think that game to me is intriguing for injury report. Who's active? Who's healthy? Watch a few series. Are they able to sort of target a guy who's dinged? And all of a sudden, does the Giants offense come alive and say, okay, never mind. But if that's not the case, I see that as a game that the Packers could potentially run away with. And then if that happens, well, then wow, the NFC side of the draw becomes a little more compelling, because then who can actually challenge Dallas? I'm not sure who.
Well, you ask that, and I'll pose this to M-Dub. Let's assume chalk occurs in the NFC, and we've got the Falcons heading to Dallas. Are not enough people talking about Atlanta? Because can the Cowboys' defense really slow down that Falcons' offense?
I don't think so. I mean, I think Atlanta's the best offense in the league. They can attack you any way they want. You know, they can expose weaknesses. They can bring out heavy personnel. They use a fullback a lot and well. Julio, if he's assuming he's healthy, they have no answer for him. And I don't dislike Dallas's defense. I'm actually doing a power ranks tomorrow where I'm ranking all of them. And I have Dallas's defense as 7th out of the 12th. I mean, I think it's fine. I think they can win the Super Bowl with it. But in that game, I think there'd be a lot of points scored. But the other side of the ball is nasty, man. I mean, what do they do about Dez? I don't think they slow down the running game in Dallas. I don't like Atlanta's defense at all. I mean, I mentioned how I'm doing the power ranks. They're my 11th ranked defense in the tournament, and they easily could be 12th. I just have Detroit right behind them.
What are your thoughts on the Giants-Packers here real quick? I know you said you like Seattle over the Lions. How about in the late game there in the NFC?
I love the way the Giants defense is playing. I think it is the best defense in the tournament too. But I love the way Rodgers is playing in Green Bay. I'm going to take the Packers. Every time I look at the Giants, I think, can Odell go bonkers against this defense? And I think the answer is yes. I mean, if it was a good corner, if there was somebody that could at least slow him down, then I think their offense becomes very inept. And I think it struggles anyways. I personally have a concern that Eli might be done. But over the last month, they've actually kind of found a running game. So that's a little bit exciting. But I still think Green Bay is just the better team. The way Rodgers and Nelson are playing, and Cook's been a huge addition. And I think Green Bay wins through the air. But that Giant defense is no joke.
Chatham, final thoughts?
Yeah, I think my final thoughts on that side of the bracket is, you know, I kind of flipped, I guess, in my head from probably where I was a day or two after Thanksgiving or a week or two after Thanksgiving with Seattle and Pittsburgh in my head. So the reason I bring those two and try to pair them together is I thought those are both two highly respected organizations, teams that have had some relative success in the last several years. Obviously, the Seattle with a little bit more with a couple Super Bowl appearances. But I thought both of those teams were the teams that, as we went through October, November, they had some super roller coaster performances, but you just kind of kept in your head that, you know what, they're an organization that always will figure it out, and they've got the trigger man that can get it done. And you know what, at the end of the day, Pittsburgh will figure themselves out and they'll be fine. At the end of the day, Seattle's got that defense and they've got playmakers. They'll figure it out. But I think they've sort of flipped spots in my mind where I would have probably, you know, put Seattle ahead of them a while ago and thought Pittsburgh was a little more, too many defensive question marks. And I think they flipped, because Seattle just can't seem to put together 2 weeks in a row, and really scuttling last weekend against the Niners didn't really instill any confidence in me. I mean, I've done this as a Patriots analyst in several years where the Patriots weren't quite up to what you're used to seeing them be. And you go into a playoff group and you say, yeah, but they got Tom Brady and they'll figure it all out. And then they don't go the whole way. I think Seattle's really kind of sitting in that where we're banking too much, I think, on years past. And to me, Seattle's a very vulnerable team, maybe not to the Lions, but maybe the round after. Whereas Pittsburgh, they cleaned themselves up in the last couple of weeks, and I think they are a legitimate threat, albeit, you know, still would be in an upset. So Seattle and Pittsburgh, similar vein, Seattle taking a step back.
M-Dub, your final thought?
Yeah, it's not going to be a great wildcard weekend. I mean, playoff football is fantastic, obviously. Green Bay Giants, I think, will certainly be the most competitive. I don't think those other three games are going to be competitive at all, but next weekend should be a blast.
Where can people find you, M-Dub?
At Williamson NFL. I'm hosting tons of podcasts. I'm writing all over the place. Just drop me a line there. Follow me everywhere.
Chatham, how about you?
I'm at Chatham 58 and the FBF podcast, In the Game podcast, we call it here on Block Talk Radio. So I'm available and easy to be found myself.
Awesome. Hey, a player, a scout, and a fan. You might think that was an equation that worked once before. thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. And look forward to talking to you guys again down the road.
See you.
There go the Mats. Hopefully they'll be back again together next week. But as I mentioned earlier in the show, scheduling three people can be something that's difficult to do, especially when all three people have podcasts of their own or other job-related duties that they have to get to. So hopefully we'll talk to them again next week. We will definitely talk to one of them or both of them. They just may not be together. And we've got all sorts of different great stuff coming to you. I've been talking with some people. We should have some upcoming draft prospects coming up on some of these shows for you here in the future. And we'll be talking with some of the draft prospects we've already talked to and find out how their rookie campaigns went. I don't think they went exactly as they had hoped they would, but we're going to talk to them a little bit about life as an NFL player, life as a NFL practice squad player, and life perhaps as a journeyman NFL player. So we'll get some of the thoughts of the people that we've talked to. We'll talk to some of the kids that are going to be entering the NFL draft, talk about their hopes and dreams and what they're looking forward to doing. And we'll get all of that good stuff and we'll present it to you all here on the next Fan Up podcast. But we want to hear from you. We'd love to talk with you. Just send us an email, nextfanup@gmail.com. That's the easiest way to get in touch with us. And of course, you can tweet us at NFU Podcast, and you can check out all of our written stuff. The superfans are still writing. They've got previews to write for this coming weekend, and you'll see those at our website. That's nextfanup.wordpress.com. We are still interactive on Facebook, too, if you prefer that particular avenue, facebook.com/NFU podcast. And by the way, if you have one of those Android phones that I was mentioning earlier in the show today, you can also listen to our show on Facebook. We post all of our podcasts there on our Facebook page. You just search Next Fan Up in the search bar on Facebook, and the show will come right up for you. So there you go. A great show. We'll have more for you. The preview's coming up here tomorrow. Yeah, that's all I got to say for now. Here's Jeff Fisher. There you have it.
Well, I think we learned today that, you know, this game is four quarters long.
Thank you, Jeff. Cool.
Good stuff, guys. Fun show.
I tried to keep that to 15, but you know.
It was tight.
Yeah, I knew it would. I knew it.